So, as Tim said, we're now in series 6 of Authentic Christianity. Our theme, which starts today, is still God's covenant people. Being that we are going through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, text by text, in order, because the letter to the Ephesians was written to a local church like ours, and it's relevant for all local churches that really belong to the Lord Jesus. And so we're carrying on going through those verses, but what we'll find is that Paul is now going, as should be done, he's going from doctrine to practice. So this second part of the theme, we're going to get Paul telling us a lot about do's and don'ts. It's amazing that God will said something about obedience equals righteousness. Some people say to people, Christianity is not about do's and don'ts. They get it wrong. It is not about do's and don'ts to make you righteous before God. It is about being saved so that you can do the right thing and stop doing the wrong thing. So, they need to qualify it. They need to qualify that statement, or they give people the wrong impression that you can just pray some kind of prayer, learn how to behave in church, and then you're okay, because you can do whatever you like after that. The grace covers it. No, the reason why we need salvation is so we can do the right thing. The title for today's message is The New Self. And it's a kind of transition in the mind of Paul from doctrine into practice. He's going to give us a lot of information. He's going to tell us stuff that we're going to learn for the rest of this particular series, series 6. We're going to be hearing a lot of things about how to behave according to God's standard of righteousness. In our community, church communities, is going to be very specific in how we should behave at work, bosses and employees. He's going to cover every domain of life, in the home, husbands, how you should behave, wives, how you should behave, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, how parents should behave to their children, and how children should behave to their parents. He's going to get to the nitty-gritty. But if you don't get this transition right, you're not going to be able to get the nitty-gritty right. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to be like somebody trying to juggle many balls very badly. And nobody will succeed doing that. So when we consider the title, the new self, what Paul is saying here is that we've got to put off the old self and put on the new self. But let's consider something. We know, don't we, that God is sovereign. We've been singing about that this morning. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing, all-seeing. He created everything, and he has a specific plan and purpose. He didn't just do some trial and error. Let's try this. It doesn't work. Let's try something else. Maybe that won't work either. Let's try another thing. No, God doesn't do trial and error. He had a purpose and a plan in creation. And that purpose and a plan, he has the power. That's what sovereignty is really about. He's got the power to achieve it. So if you go to Genesis 1, what God revealed to us is why he created you and me. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And some people trying to impress people and excite people, some Bible teachers who do a lot of damage have told people that because of that they are gods. That is not what the Bible is saying. Somebody said to Tim one time, we're gods. Tim said, okay, let the person go and stand in front of a car and see if the car won't kill him. You see, people tell people these things because it sounds nice, it feels good. But that's not what God meant. What he meant when he said, let us make man in our own image, is so that we can be like him in true righteousness and holiness. Because if we're not like him in true righteousness and holiness, we will ruin his creation. You see, righteousness is the aim. To be like God is to be like him in righteousness and holiness. And only he can define what that is. So God also said, these perfect human beings that I can relate to as a father can relate to his children forever are going to enjoy so many blessings. I'm going to give them delegated authority to rule in this beautiful planet that I've created for them, put it in delicate balance to be perfect, beautiful, for them to enjoy, but for them to manage and rule and run. When he says rule, it's not to lord it over it, but to take care of it. That's what he means. So delegated authority, that's what they will have. Now that's God's intention. Let's call it the human being's original self. But as we know, something happened in between. People decided to be independent of God, to define their own standards of righteousness, what they're going to do. And of course, they haven't got a clue. So they messed it all up. And from that moment on, from our ancestors, Adam and Eve, every human being has been born with an old self. A rebel is inside every human being. The old self that goes against the will of God. The old self that is so unwise that he says to the Creator, I know how to run it better. And of course, we can see the mayhem that that causes in the world. It is because of the old self. So when we talk about putting off the old self and putting on the new self, we're actually returning to the original self, God's intention all along. And we know we can only achieve that in one man, Christ Jesus. Well, we'll talk about him some more. But that is the context of what we're talking about this morning. We're putting off, we're being told that to make it into God's new creation, because he's going to have his beautiful earth, he's going to have many people who will live perfectly according to his will in true righteousness and holiness in a beautiful new recreated planet, no pollution, nothing. It will be perfect or returned to God's original plan that has never failed. Revelation tells us that. God sees it. He's already seen it. That he's had his way. The question is for you and me, do we want to be part of that new creation forever and ever, as God originally intended it to be? The only thing that is being decided now is who is going to populate God's new creation, because God in his sovereignty has left it to people to choose. You can choose today whether you're going to be part of that new creation or not. This is a real thing. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of everlasting life or everlasting death. And so what we are saying today, the new self, we're going to read later, that is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Don't you ever listen to anybody who tells you that if you're in Christ, you can now do whatever you like. No, you're empowered to be like Jesus and become more and more like your Father, like he meant you and I to be, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. See, problem is, many people When they start to teach about the do's and don'ts, this is wrong to do, that is right to do. They start to, it's like somebody chopping off branches without dealing with the root cause. In our previous house, there was this massive tree in our neighbor's garden, but it's very close to the fence. This tree, they've allowed it to be out of control, really massive stump. And the branches, it's one of those trees that they spread their branches very wide. So it was causing us trouble, and them too. We got on really well with them, so Tim said to them, you should think about taking this tree down for your sakes and ours. And initially they just used all sorts of excuses. The funniest one is that the tree was listed. For what reason in our backyard would that tree be listed? When Tim figured out that the problem was they didn't want to take on the cost of bringing down that tree, they decided to make excuses. But when Tim then said, can we take responsibility and take the tree down, suddenly the tree became unlisted. Oh yes, you can take it down. Thank you. And Tim and our friend then did a lot of work. Over time, they managed to bring this tree down to a stump, a big stump. And they tried to kill the stump. They did their best. But before we left there to move to where we live now, some new branches, not just one now, but about three or four were now coming out of that stump. Regrowing. And if those people don't immediately go and deal with it, do you know what? Their final condition is going to be worse than what they started with. But we moved out. No longer a problem. It's a bit like this. When people start to do this in the wrong order, can you see that? If you walk back, that the tree stump that I have on the screen looks dead, doesn't it? But can you see the new one growing out of it? And if it's not taken down, it could become like that. Can you see the big tree growing out of the old stump? This is what happens when people don't get what we are talking about today, right? And I'm probably going to say some things that some people may find a bit difficult. But it's the only way. I'm ready to take the flak. Because I know it's the truth that you need to hear. And so, it's about roots. When we talk about putting off the old self and putting on the new self, some people take it to be about behavior. I remember just as I was standing there, and I believe there must be a reason why the Lord wants me to say this. I wasn't going to use this example. But some years ago, and elderly woman started to come to the meeting. Somebody reached out to her and she thought this is what might solve my problems. And she started to come along and she used to sit beside me. But unbeknownst to me, because I was younger also in those days, I used to jump around a lot during worship. And this, what I didn't know was that this woman would take a look at me and start copying me. And she was jumping around. And until a few Sundays, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, stop dancing, this woman is about to collapse. Because she would jump and jump and jump and then look at me, whatever I'm doing, she starts to do it even more with greater vigor. And she's an elderly woman. So when we finished, she just sat like that. And somebody went and brought her some water and I stopped moving while she was around. You see, many people, they want the blessing of God. They know God blesses. They start going to church, but they just copy the behavior and they don't deal with the old self. That is not the way. You have to go for the root. And what are the roots? See, many people, could you help me out here? Because maybe the battery is gone on this. Maybe the roots, you see, maybe there are people who have reservations about Paul the Apostle. I know there are Christians who try to sort of say, well, Paul is like this, he's like that, because he teaches some things they don't like. So they call him names, even Christians. Even at the time that Paul was alive, they were already calling him bad names because he was teaching the truth. From within the church as well. You see, so when we read the text, some people may say, yeah, Paul is a Jew. He's having a go at Gentiles. Remember that Paul also had a go at the Jews. He's just telling the truth. And he made it clear that there are two types of people in this world. The Jews and everybody else. And when I say the Jews, I'm not talking about the nation of Israel. Because there are people in Israel who are atheists. They don't even believe in God. But I'm talking about Jews who still connect to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is these people, only these people, have the root of the true knowledge of God. We've done it here in King's Church. You can listen to our messages online. You can listen to the authentic Christianity messages and you'll get this coming through. God revealed himself through one man, Abraham. And then through Isaac and Jacob and through the nation of the Jews. He took only one nation for himself. He left the other nations to start with. And these other nations are all called Gentiles. Every tribe, every culture, every tradition, every other nation is a Gentile nation. And I tell you something, brothers and sisters, the roots of all Gentile nations is not God. Not the true God. And as a result, they've got futile thinking. There is futile thinking at the root of every culture, every tradition. There is no exception. When you dig to the root of every culture, every tradition, every nation, it's futile thinking that is steeped in other gods. People serve whatever they thought will give them anything they wanted or the things they feared. If they feared thunder, then they had a god of thunder. Anything they feared, they made that thing into a god and started to appease that thing. And of course, there are evil spiritual beings that the Bible tells us control this world. The only nation that has a prince, an angel that fights for them, is the Jewish nation. The other nations have got all these principalities and powers infusing their own ideas. Idolatry, paganism, check it. Every nation, drill it down, you find paganism, heathen beliefs, things that are not connected to our Creator God. Read Romans 1. I don't need to convince you about that, but if I need to go to Romans 1, it will convince you. So every nation, all of us here, all of us Gentiles, if we go to our roots, it's futile thinking. Idolatry. That's what is at our roots. And that affects everything. When we think of putting off the old self, we must think about the roots that we come from. If we don't do that, it's not going to work. We need to think this way, like Jesus expressed it. We need to think that as Gentiles, we need to be suspicious of the things we take for granted in our cultures and traditions. We may need to uproot them all. I'm not saying everything the Gentiles do are wrong. Because if you read Romans 1, you also discover that God has actually put in everyone something that should recognize that there is one Creator God. But the people did not choose to give glory to God. Instead, they worshipped created things. And the Bible says they're without excuse because God also puts consciences in every human being. So it's not everything the Gentiles do that are wrong. Let me make that clear. But there are many, many things they do that have their origin in paganism. They have their origin in some evil spiritual powers controlling every nation in the world at the root, oozing poison into the nations. If you don't recognize that, you will start defending your nation and your culture, and you will find you never break free. This is what Jesus wants us to be. He says he's the true vine, and we are his branches. You see, if we become properly grafted in Jesus, whether we're Jew or Gentile, what root do we then have? We have the roots of truth, because Jesus is the truth, the way and the life. So Jesus put it in a different way. If we want to put off the old self, you have to dig up all those roots and graft yourself completely in the truth that is Jesus Christ. And you have to keep doing that, as we shall see. So with what I've just told you in mind, let's read the text for today. Ephesians 4:17-24. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Brothers and sisters, if we don't do it this way, we may be shocked and surprised at what we see at the end. And we need to correct that now, according to scriptures. So, in order to kind of help us to unpack this, I've got this illustration here. See, what we have on the screen is a big circle, white circle. Take that to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, you're within that white circle. And what that means is actually you're now covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So God can actually relate to you as father to child. You can say, I am saved. But for that to happen, you see that little square outside the red square outside the circle. Take that to be you or me, or an individual. But eventually we can actually move it to nations and cultures and small groups and churches in homes and where two or three are gathered and so on. So let it be an individual entity or a corporate entity of some sort, which takes on the character of the individual that make it up. When that individual makes a radical decision, or a group of people make a radical decision, I want to put that word radical, because it is radical. What that person is saying, like Paul just said to the Ephesians, is that that person made a kind of life-changing, once-for-all decision. I am no longer going to live my life according to the standards and principles and traditions of this world. I am now going to live my life according to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what repentance really is. And if nobody, if somebody, it doesn't matter how many years you've been going to church. When I made that decision, I had been going to church for years. I had even led Bible study. I was singing in the musical group, in the choir, what we had then in the secondary school. It was in my late teens that I made that radical decision, and my life was never the same again. I made a radical decision. I said to the Lord, from now on, my life will be to find out your will and do it. And I don't care how much flack I take for it. I will do your will. My life changed from then on. I will say, if nobody gets to that point, they're not yet converted. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It is good to hear it. And today may be the beginning of the rest of your life, your eternal life, and growth, and fruitfulness, and productivity. Not just for you, but for generations to come, as I shall show you in a minute. And so if somebody makes that radical decision, they are in Christ. Did you notice in the text we read that Paul sometimes spoke as if it is in the past? You've done it. And then he speaks as if you have to keep doing it. In fact, his first command is, do not live anymore according to the futility of your thinking. It's a continuous thing. And for those who might be struggling with the word futile is that you do it is never going to get the result you want. All those things you're seeking for, you will never get it if you submit to that thinking. Ultimately, you will find it was all futile. It's not going to give any results that you want. There is no way around it. There is no shortcut around it. There is no, this is the way I see it. There is no private interpretation of it. This is God's standard. And he's not going to shift it for anybody. He's not partial. He's not going to bend the rule for this person or that person. This is the one rule for every human being, to enter and be in Christ. It is a one-off event. But there is a reason why it's also an ongoing event. You remember in King's Church, we know about the tenses of salvation. We are saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. They are all in play. But why? So first of all, you have to make that radical decision. And as Tim prayed earlier, if you've never made it, today is a great opportunity. But it has to be genuine. It's got to be radical. Your life could change entirely today for the better. All the struggles can be simplified. It's not that it will be a different type, but it will be full of blessing. All your struggles, the other things that life seems to be unclear, hazy, everything that you touch is such a mess, ultimately, that can change today. But you have to make a radical decision to put yourself fully in the camp, to uproot the old self completely. At least have the intention to completely do that. No matter how much flack you take while you do that, you're going to be in there and you're going to stay there for the rest of your life. That is the radical decision that puts you in Christ. And then the Lord says, you're home, but there's work to do. Because he wants you to now work out that salvation with fear and trembling. He wants you to now continually put off the old self. Why do we have to do that? Sorry. Go back one, please. If you can help me, this is not really working. Okay. Before we read that Bible passage, I'd like you to put a picture in your mind about the cross. We've been singing about fixing our eyes on the cross. Let's do that this morning. You know, when we talk about the crucifixion of Jesus, we think about three crosses, yeah? Two crosses, criminals who deserve to be crucified, and then the cross of Jesus Christ. And we say it's the cross of Jesus Christ. Actually, it's my cross. Imagine that that cross in the middle is me on the cross, you on the cross, because that's where we belong. Every human being belongs on that cross because we're all criminals before God. The old self is in charge. and the old self cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And God loves us so much that he came himself to take our place on that cross. So first of all, imagine the cross, you on it. Because that's what the Bible teaches in Romans 6. That when Jesus was crucified, we actually were in him when he was crucified. Until you have that picture, the verse we're going to read next will not make much sense to you. But if you can see yourself on that cross, and then Jesus says, come down, I'll take your place. And that means if you put your faith in it, if you repent, his righteousness becomes yours. You can really call God your Father, now and forevermore. What an exchange. What is salvation? But you have to make that radical decision. The things that put me on that cross is the old self from the old roots. I'm going to fight for the rest of my life against that. Should we read that verse together? Let's read together. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That is the entry point for everybody. And if you've never done it, you want somebody to actually pray with you so you make it an important day. Doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. Please come out here at the end of the meeting. There'll be people here to just listen to you and say amen when you pray. But brothers and sisters, this is the event, radical event. You're now in Christ, but the fight is not over. And why is that? See, what I've done is I've enlarged the square so we see what's going on inside the square, yes? So this person is now in Christ. Everything, so this, imagine this box is still inside the white circle, but we've now exaggerated the box. So what's going on inside? Paul tells us inside there are futile attitudes of the mind. And what they are is the old self with Gentile roots in it. I think for us to understand this, I need to give you a few real examples. Let's start with an individual. I could give you many examples. You see, there are people who have served the Lord and they've gone back into the world. They've gone back not just to their bad behaviors before, they're now worse than before. Have you come across people like that? And it used to puzzle me. I said, but I served with these people. I could see the sincerity in them. And initially I thought they must have been pretending, but no, they were sincere, like you and me. Paul said, if you think you're standing, you be careful, lest you fall. And he said he himself is being very careful that having preached to others, he himself will not be disqualified for the prize. If Paul could say that, then people can really be deeply sincere. And one example is somebody who I knew very well over the years. I saw that person sincerely overcoming difficulties in so many areas of that person's life. I don't think they were pretending. But looking back now, I'm thinking there was some strong root they never dealt with. And the Lord must have warned them several times. Incidentally, this person would say things like, you have to be all in. You can't be 99.9%. I can imagine how many times this person said it in my hearing. I felt the person meant it. If you're to tell me that what the person did, that the person would do it, I would say, you're joking. It's not possible. Because this person will say with all passion and sincerity, you've got to be all in. It's not 99.9%. You've got to be there 100%. And we all say, yeah. And then this person has fallen away because of one area that they let the root remain. And that took them now. And what will happen is that that root is going to spread and take them. If they don't repent, their salvation is at stake, and it really saddens my heart. That's how important it is to dig up old roots as the Holy Spirit reveals them. That's one person. I could give you many more examples. Let's go to culture and tradition. And I said every nation has got it. But let me start with my own extended family. In my culture, when you have a child, they do something they call bring the baby home. I didn't know that. But then, when I started to have children, and we went to visit my mother, as you do, so this cousin of some sort, I don't know what level of cousin, but everybody there, by the way, have claimed to become Christians. They're all members of the local church. And this person I'm talking about is even a leader in the local church. Well respected. And he said, Pearl, you haven't brought your children around. I said, but you're seeing them, they're here. He said, that's not what I mean. So there is some culture, there's some cultural thing. You bring the baby, they do some kind of ritual, which they've now put a Christian veneer over. So do you know, people should nod if they know it. They bring salt, they bring some powder, and maybe some alcohol, and then they take it, they rub it on the child, the people there rub it on themselves. Before, they would probably say some incantations or something, but they're Christian now, so they will pray. So when I said, I'm not doing that for my children, he said, but we'll pray prayers. I said, no, thank you. Many of us submit our children to salt on their faces and powder on their faces. They are dedications. You're dedicating them to ancestral pagan gods. It doesn't matter what veneer of Christianity you've put on it. I did say I'm going to upset some people today. If you've done it for your child, go and pray for deliverance for them. Because years down the line, this child will never break free of some things. You don't know where the trouble is coming from. You have some demons having the legal right to operate in the lives of generations after you because you've allowed. You don't want to be different, do you? You see, in my case, they think I'm crazy. They tell me you do not. They make it general. They say I am a badly behaved person. I say, good. I will even be more badly behaved. And occasionally when they try to pull me into any of this cultural or traditional nonsense, not nonsense, actually dangerous stuff, when they try to pull me into it, I use an assertive voice and tell them, I have zero respect or commitment for any of these cultures and cultural or traditional things. So I take flack as a badly behaved member of the family. Do you see what I mean? Where persecution comes, we think persecution is only when somebody comes to blow up the church. Persecution comes when you stand for the truth. And then they call you like they call me, a badly behaved person. But my children are free. When my children are soaring in the Lord, they're not being held back by some demonic entities that they've been dedicated to. You need to be radical in pulling up those old roots. Okay, somebody may say that's darkest Africa. I'll tell you, before I moved from Africa to England, I'll tell you one more thing. This is me fighting the tradition and culture in my own extended family. But some people actually give on to the corporate one. Because I went to visit some people in our area, and I noticed they still, even though everybody in that area claimed to be a Christian, the members of the local church, I noticed they still had something that looked like a shrine. And I could see it wasn't like old and neglected. He seemed active. And I said, I thought you people said you're all Christians. What is that doing there? So you see, these people have been hedging their bets as a whole clan. And they always have a family or a man who appeased their ancestral gods for them. I don't know how they got the man to not be... So everybody else will say they're Christians, but this man cannot say he's a Christian. I think it's his own family line. Whether they bribed him or cajoled him, or he volunteered, I don't know. But they said, oh, he is the one who served that idol for us. The rest of us are Christian. I said, none of you is a Christian. I told the person. I said, because if you're paying somebody or making somebody serve, appease an ancestral God, and you feel comfortable, okay, that side is taken care of. I can go off and serve God. You don't believe in God. You don't trust God. And over the years, I have seen people who've given their lives to the Lord in that family. They have had opportunities in their lives, and they've always come crashing down. And I ask myself, could this be the reason? They're serving idols by proxy, and they say they're Christians. They're not. They're letting the old roots ooze poison into them. Let me come to England because my time's running out. Many people in England think they're Christian. Some people think because we're born in England, we're Christians. No, the root in England is not Christianity. Now, I thank God that the West accepted Christianity. And I'm talking about all Western nations who think they're more Christian than other people. They're not. If you dig deeper, you find the Druids. You find witches and wizards. And there are people now who are going back to the old ways and serving the old gods. When you hear people saying they're going to the old ways in England, they're not going to Christianity. Christianity is not the old way, it's the new way. The Christianity came, and thank God, there were people who were powerful enough and vocal enough to really sort of Christianize on the surface almost every nation in the West in the past. And they sent out missionaries, didn't they? But why is it check the judicial system? It's reverting to the old ways, isn't it? They're throwing away Christian principles nowadays, schools. Those schools were established by Christians for Christian on Christian principles. The hospitals came out of Christianity. But everything is reverting to the root. So they would rather have yoga. They would rather have the Eastern religion because it's all connected to the old pagan ways that are returning. So even in England here, I think English Christians need to hear this. The fact that somebody is in England doesn't make them a Christian. You need to preach the gospel and pray, and you yourselves, those that are listening to me, you need to uproot the old roots as well. Somebody said to me, there are more witches in England than there are pastors. Do you see what I mean? All of us have got those roots. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to identify them so we can pull them down in our own lives. Like that tree that wasn't our tree but it was affecting us, we pulled it down, didn't we? You have to take responsibility. Don't blame your ancestors. You need to take responsibility for yourself and say, I am uprooting every old root. Whatever nation or culture or tradition I come from, I'm uprooting it and I'm putting everything, grafting myself completely into Jesus Christ. Because that's the only place that is safe. Brothers and sisters, that is Paul's message. You know your own. You may not like me for what I've said today, but I guarantee it is the truth. And time has proven that anybody who doesn't do this, you may not make it through till the end. You may be taken down or at least limited in your walk with God and your fruitfulness because you're protecting old roots. You're afraid to take flak. Take the flak. You see, some people don't do these things because people will gossip about them and say, you see them, they don't know how to behave. That's what our people say. They just label you with general bad behavior because you're not doing what they've done for years and years and years. Tell them, okay, yeah, I don't want to behave that way. They will gossip about you anyway. Even while you're doing those things, they will find reasons to gossip and slander you, to gossip about you and slander you. They'll find it, because that's what they do. So let them do it for the right reasons, that you're a radical, new self, And you're not only doing the radical one, you're doing the daily one. You see, it tends to come back, doesn't it? In our garden, I like order. I know some of you might like gardens that grow anywhere. I like order, symmetry in my garden. I attempt to. So I planted tarragon. And it likes our garden a lot. It makes more tarragon than we can eat. It's a herb, by the way, those who don't know what it is. But I discovered the year after that, where I put the tarragon, and when I put it there, I expect it to grow in that spot. I found out about invasive plants, so I don't put them there because I don't want them to invade the whole garden. If I put you in one place, I want you to grow there because I have another one that should be growing in another spot, not a different place. That's the way my mind works. But I found out when I came back, this tarragon, I thought, tarragon everywhere, and I realized it makes roots underground. So it's growing where I don't want it to grow. Do you know how I've been dealing with it? Not only take the stem off, but I just pull the root, and I follow the runner of the root to the source and cut it. I've had to fight that battle, but I found that the following year, it was less. I only had one or two. This year, I'm looking for them. You have to be vigilant. That's why I told you this story. You've got to be vigilant. The Bible said you've got to be alert and vigilant. I don't want them to win. So I look around to see if there's another one. And if I find one, I deal with it. But I haven't found any yet. Have I won? No, I'm not even going to relax about that. I'm still going to be looking. That is how we should be. And you know Jesus said that? Do you remember your picture of the cross? Keep it in your mind as we read together the next verse. This is what Jesus said. Luke 9:23. Let's read it together. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Every day. So I wake up in the morning, you have to say to the Lord, today I'm going to do your will. Every situation I face, show me. If it's something that has roots somewhere that has suddenly been revealed, I'm not going to sort of say, oh, it's okay, it's culture, it's tradition, it's all right. No, I'm going to deal with it so that I will conform. Not to the world, but to Jesus. Let's read the next verse. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is, can you see how it's all fitting in? So we have to keep uprooting that old self, which actually works by embedding itself in our minds, and sometimes we don't realize that it's there. But if you make yourself willing and alert, you say to the Lord, I don't want these roots in my life. If it comes up, put up an alarm signal in me. So I think, that's a root, deal with it. And then I'll deal with it. Then we see ourselves being set free. But you know the best thing of all that gives me courage, that makes me even more determined to fight these battles? You fight it for your children and for your children's children. And I'm actually praying, Lord, I said, I don't want anybody in my generation. And now at some point I will die if Christ tarries and I won't even know them. But I've decided I'm going to write a letter. I have to write it soon because you never know. I want everybody that comes after us to read it. We're fighting the battles not just for us, but for the generations to come. We want a different route for them, don't we? And so, it is about our thought life. Can we read another one together? 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. But though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Praise God. And that's a lot for us to be working with. And indeed, if you have been dedicating your children to idols without knowing, you need to go and pray for them. If you want to bring them to us, we will pray and break whatever it is you dedicated them to. And we anoint them like Tim did for Joanna this morning. God takes dedications to him seriously. But those children will still have to make those decisions to carry on fighting those battles. So let's read once more let's read this passage before we read the text we started with as we finish. You see, the point is we all fall short of the glory of God. But when we are created, when we kill the old self, uproot the old self and put on the new self, you know what? We're being changed into the likeness of our Lord. In true righteousness and holiness, from inside out, not chopping off branches or copying people, but really being changing from inside out, and we're being transformed from glory to glory. So let's read that in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And finally, just to read the last couple of verses to remind ourselves what we're focusing on in churches, in homes, and privately and corporately this week. Let's read together. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let us pray.